What's going up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Affinity Boxer Watch. I'm your Affinity Boy, Anthony, alongside your box man, Brian.
What up?
Hey, I listen to podcasts in 1.5 speed, and imagine listening to that 1.5 speed. It's going to be like, really fast.
Can't wait.
Yeah, do that. Make sure.
I sometimes listen 2 times when I'm crunched for time.
Yes, yes. I've done that as well. I don't like it, but I have to. If I have to do it, sometimes I'll do it. Anyway, welcome to the show. This is the Shazam Fury of the Gods and Mandalorian chapter 19?
19.
Episode. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But first, as always, we're going to talk about news in the news. Brian, first order of business today. The Last of Us Season 1 has ended. It's all the rage. It's all the talk. HBO's next great show. What'd you think?
It was pretty great.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great season.
I was like meh on it. Because, I don't know, I never played the game.
I didn't play the game either.
Gave me Walking Dead vibes, which left a bad taste in my mouth. But I was wrong, and they crushed it, and I hope Season 2 is just as good.
Yeah. 9-episode season, it was great every step of the way. Some iconic episodes of television that will live on, I feel like, forever. So, and Pedro and Bella. Pedro and Bella were great. They were incredible. I'd be shocked if they're don't win Emmys.
Like, how many seasons is this going? Do they know?
Well, there's only 2 games,
I know, and I heard the game is going to be extended to multiple seasons.
Yeah,
the game 2.
Game 2, yeah, that would make sense. I know that I've talked to people who have played the game, and they say that season 1 was just it was the first game. So
yeah.
I guess they're gonna break up I guess they're gonna break up game 2, season 2 into seasons 2 and 3, and then hopefully maybe game 3 will be out, and they could do something like that. I know they say that game 2 kind of ends. You know, you still can keep going. It's not a definitive end, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So far, so good.
Yeah, so far, so good. Love that Pedro Pascal. We'll talk about him later. Next up, Ben Affleck was in the news because he's got that new movie Air coming out, which looks good. I'm interested in that movie.
Yeah, I'll see that.
And they were like, hey, like James Gunn tweeted that you'd be interested in directing a movie in his new DCU. And he was like, oh, absolutely not. It was not happening. So
yeah, which is kind of a shame because, like, I think I like him better as a director.
Oh, by far. Yeah, he's a great director.
Oh, so, I don't know. I guess he's just out because I don't want more Batman.
Yeah.
Or Batfleck, rather.
He also said that he is in The Flash for 5 minutes, but said that it's the best 5 minutes he's ever acted.
That's weird.
I mean, I knew there was more Keaton than Affleck in this movie, but I didn't think it was going to be 5 minutes.
And then he also said that, like, the reshoots for Justice League was, like, the worst thing he ever experienced.
Yeah, well, I think we all figured that the Joss stuff was real bad.
Yeah. I mean, I won't miss him. I was fine with him directing, but, like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, I think he's a good director, but, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to cry over spilt milk.
Nah, I'm over it.
Next up on the docket, Ryan. I forgot what it is. I have to go back and look. James Gunn. Keeping it in the DCU.
Oh, yeah.
James Gunn is officially directing Superman Legacy. We all figured. He said he wanted to do it, just didn't know if he could, but he will. And that's exciting. So next to come up would be hopefully some casting news. And then maybe getting this bad boy off the ground if they really want it to come out July 2025.
Yeah, they gotta get going. Mm-hmm. It's one of my most anticipated movies.
By far. Especially with him writing and directing, I think it's gotta be real good.
And it's like, it's weird because, you know, you got Peacemaker and Guardians. Like, he can't really do the fun, quirky thing with Superman.
No.
You could do it with Clark a little bit.
No. I think he knows too. I think he knows
that you're reading the right stuff.
The Superman under Snyder was, while Cavill was real good, it left a lot to be desired. It wasn't exactly comic accurate, and to maybe lean more into the comic aspect, like the stuff that makes him so beloved from like reading comics. So,
yeah,
I think it's gonna be good. I'm excited. I'm interested. I want to know who like the villains are gonna be in this movie. I want the casting decisions. I want it all. So, we'll see about that. But with that said, Brian, are you ready to shift to our first review of the show? And we keep it in the DC family. We talk about Shazam Fury of the Gods.
Let's do it. I did not want to see this movie.
You didn't want to see it, or you just were not excited about it?
Kind of both.
Wow.
Well, I was wrong. Spoiler alert.
Well, let me tell you about it. Directed again by David F. Sandberg. He directed the first. Stayed on. Starring Zachary Levi as Shazam. Asher Angel as Billy Batson. You had Jack Dylan Grazer return as Freddie Freeman. Great name. Adam Brody as Captain Everypower. You had Rachel Ziegler come on as Anne Anthea, the daughter of Atlas. She gets high billing here. I don't know why that's so high. Grace Caroline Curry returns as Mary. Ross Butler returns as Eugene. DJ Cartrona returns as Pedro. Megan Good and Faith Herman are Darla. Lucy Liu is Calypso. Helen Mirren is Hespera. Digimon Hanzu returns as the wizard. And the parents, Rosa and Victor, are Marta Milans and Cooper Andrews. Anyone else? Not really that I feel like I need to talk about before we review the movie. So, Brian, this is the first of the last four installments of the DCEU before it transitions over to the DCU in a soft reboot set by The Flash, which will happen in June.
Yeah.
Anything you want to say before we dive into this film?
I feel bad for the cast because this movie is just being cast aside like I almost did to it.
At least you admit that you're part of the problem.
I was, admittedly, because like there's no stakes here and I don't really think that anyone expects to see any of these characters really mean anything ever.
So without, you know, like, how would I say? Without, like, spoiling the entire thing here in the open, I'm expecting what I've got out of this movie is that Zach Levi and Asher Angel most likely will be back in some form, but I don't think they're going to bring the rest of it back. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that feels right.
Yeah.
And that's how it should be. Like, I like the whole family.
The Shazamily.
They're all great in their own right, but I think, like, I could use a little more Shazam, a little less family if it's going to be about him mostly.
Yeah.
They do kind of make this movie, and even, not so much the first one, because it didn't really happen until the end, but this one was more like an ensemble movie.
Yes, by far. Everyone gets a chance to shine in this one.
Yeah. Well, we can dive into it
now. Yeah, let's dive into it a little bit. We don't have to do the whole thing, but we could talk about some of the big parts of the movie and stuff like that. So, spoilers ahead. It's a few years after the first movie. The Shazamly's doing their thing. But we open on Athens, right? Athens, Greece, or we meet the villains immediately. Which is like a thing that I've noticed a lot of these movies are doing now. The first scene of these movies are like meet the villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Show us where this all came from.
Yeah.
And the tour guide is that guy that I love from other movies.
Yes. He's dead now.
I forgot his name, but he's great. Yeah. Yeah, Hasbro and Calypso, they're trying to get the wizard staff that Shazam broke at the end of the first movie. And they get it. You know, they turn a lot of people into stone. They're pretty menacing. They're pretty strong. And they're obviously going to be the villains and do some shit with this. So Two Sisters, not great. And like you said, the Shazamly, they're just off kind of solving crimes, sneaking out of the house to do it. They do it all together, except for Freddie Freeman. He goes off on his own sometimes, which the others do not appreciate. Yeah. And also the whole city kind of makes fun of them because they keep destroying shit.
Yes, they call them the Philly Fiascos.
Yeah, like they save lives, but everything gets destroyed in the process.
Yeah, they're kids. That makes sense.
Yeah. And they all want to do different stuff. Like, what's her face? Mary wants to go to college. Billy's nervous that he's going to not have a family once he turns 18. The younger ones all have their other hobbies and stuff. So, yeah, they still have their side drama going on. And then Billy gets a dream. This is the dream with Wonder Woman, right?
Yes.
So, we'll get back to it. Really bothered me that her face or anything was not in this.
It was the wizard.
And then the wizard's face on her body?
Yeah.
Okay, I laughed at that.
That was amazing. It was creepy.
But, like, it just reminded me of how, like, kind of cringy it was to have Superman, but not his face in the first one.
Yeah.
But I got over it later. But yeah, he has a dream warning him about this Hespera and Calypso. That's what he's focused on. Meanwhile, Freddie Freeman fell for a girl named Anne at school, and they're chatting and having fun. Until, bad news, she is the third sister of Hespera and Calypso. And long story short, they take Freddie, take his powers away. The wizard staff can take powers away, which happens throughout the movie. They learn this from, like, this library that they have in their little...
Steve!
You know, all these doors. Yeah, you know, like, their little lair. Steve the Pen tells them.
Steve.
Love Steve the Pen.
So good.
And, yeah, they find out the wizard killed Hespera, Calypso, and Anne's father. Anne seems cool. The other two are kind of bitchy.
Yeah.
But they get Freddy and they take him away. And they're like, listen, we want the wizard. We're going to kill him. We got a staff now. We're going to wreak some havoc here.
They dome Philadelphia.
Yeah. Or Philadelphia just gets the shit kicked out of it.
Should be a fucking dome.
So there's this weird dome over the city now. They cannot get out of it. So they try to negotiate the release. They send letters to Hespera and Calypso. And eventually they go there and fight them. And a couple of the other ones lose powers like throughout. Like Pedro loses it. I think Darla loses it at one point.
Yeah.
But, you know, they, through the Rock of Eternity, they're able to get to where, Hespera and Calypso are, and they actually capture Hespera. That works out, they're real proud of themselves, but again, they're them kids.
I like to hear they realize that, you know, oh, she wanted to be, picked up, she wanted to be taken into the lair.
Yep.
Because she's smart.
She's much smarter than them.
Yeah.
She's been around the block a couple times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're at the Rock of Eternity where she is able to break out of where they trapped her. Takes this golden apple, which she needs. It's super powerful. Her sisters are shocked when she shows up with it. And they go and follow after her to try and get that apple back from them. Which they're able to do. Freddy and the wizard kind of teamed up during all of this.
Yes. They had a good like little buddy thing going on there. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, they're in the cell.
It turns out that so the main portion of this is basically Hespera and Thea are like, okay, we have the seed, we can bring our god realm back to life, and we're good to go. And Calypso is just like, nah, man, we're gonna make our thing on Earth with the humans, and we'll ruin their world. And they're like, well, that's not what we talked about doing. And they were like,
yeah, and she's known as like the chaos one.
Yeah, yeah. Calypso, she was just like, oh, fuck y'all.
Yep.
She summons the dragon.
Yeah, she summons this badass blue breathing dragon.
It was a cool dragon.
Yeah, so like they Shazamly gets Freddy out of there. He's good to go. They all leave, but they know that this dragon is coming.
Yep.
So they go get their parents. They get out of there. But Calypso appears with this dragon, and she goes right to Citizens Bank Ballpark.
Yeah. Like, this is a great place to set my tree.
Yep. She stabbed Hespera with the dragon.
Oh yeah, she kills. Right, she stabs her real good.
Real good. Drops. Takes away Anthea's power. She has cool powers. Like she has, what was it, Axis powers or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
She can just like change where she is, like the realms. But Calypso stronger than her, gets her powers, plants the tree, and all these fucking vines start growing everywhere, and monsters start coming out. And everyone is pretty much overpowered. Like, the humans obviously are overpowered, and the Shazamly has no idea what to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, they all get their powers taken, pretty much, and it's just Billy.
Yeah.
And he's asking the wizard what to do. He's like, wizard, can you go do it? And the wizard's like, nah, you gotta do this.
Yeah, he was like, take my powers and you know, you do this. And he was like,
yeah.
Nope, I made the right choice. You can do it. You got this.
Yep. So, you know, they say all their goodbyes and whatnot. He has a nice little scene with his mom. His mom tells him he's not going anywhere when he turns 18.
Yep.
And he goes off to fight Calypso, but first he and Hespera come up with a little plan. Yep. He's like, your sister's kind of a bitch. I think you should help me.
Yeah.
And, you want to describe the unicorn thing here? Because that's like a side stuff, but it was my favorite line in the movie.
Yes. So they realize to stop they asked Steve, they're like, how do we stop the monsters? What are they afraid of? And it was like unicorns. And the wizard's like, oh shit, unicorns, they're fucking crazy evil. And he goes, they're not like what you depict them as, little ponies. He was like, they'll kill you. And like, all right, Steve, well, what are the unicorns like? And one of them was Ambrosia. And I was like, oh, that's like that sweet stuff. So Darla's like, I got it. Let's go find a unicorn. And so they find the unicorn, and it starts charging at them. But she goes into her pocket, and she takes out her Skittles. Which she's been, you know, Darla was like, the whole movie was talking about Skittles.
Skittles.
Yeah, and she threw it up into the air, and the unicorn stops and starts eating the Skittles, and it becomes their friend because it likes it because it's like Ambrosia, the sweet Skittles. And
yep,
Darla says, "Taste the rainbow."
And then they ride all the unicorns into battle, and she screams, "Taste the rainbow, motherfuckers!" And I want that on a T-shirt.
Do it. Get it.
So that pretty much handles all the monsters that are around the city. Yes,
because the unicorns are OP.
Yeah.
So this is like the end of the movie, and Billy realizes that when he's fighting Calypso, that when he summons his lightning, it kind of like sets up it like the staff. What would you say? Like, takes it and makes more energy out of it.
Yeah, like sucks some power into it.
So he goes to Hespera, and he's like, listen, he goes, can I basically use the thing as a bomb to kill your sister and the tree? And she's like, yeah, but, like, you're in the dome. Everyone in the dome will die. So they come up with a plan where he will lure Calypso into the ballpark, and she will close the dome into only the ballpark, to where the two of them will be the only ones fighting in there. And when he does his plan, just the two of them will blow up and nothing else will happen. So that's the plan.
The guy.
And that's how it comes down. We have one big final fight between Calypso and the dragon and Shazam, and it's a pretty cool fight. I liked it.
It was good.
Yeah.
Went on a little long. That was my only...
Intense. Yeah. They were building to a crescendo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To Billy's eventual death.
Yeah.
Yeah, Calypso dead, Billy dead, Laydon the dragon dead, but the tree's also dead, so that's good.
Yes.
And the dome goes away, and everyone's real sad. Yep. And they decide that they should bury him
in the garden,
appropriately in their little kingdom.
Yeah.
So they bring him there, and the wizard's there. So, they mention the staff, like, can it ever do anything again? And he's like, no, not unless, a god gave it more powers and there are no more gods. And then we get my favorite Wonder Woman music. That's part of the movie. So now we get Wonder Woman and it's actually her with a face and everything.
Yes.
And she comes over. She is a god, obviously.
Yes.
Gives the staff some power. And resurrects Billy. He comes out. They scream, saying, it's Zombie Billy.
He goes, you guys buried me? Like, yeah, you were dead.
And he hits on her a little bit. He fails, but shoot your shot. I get it.
Yeah.
And that is pretty much it.
Yeah, so that's the movie ends. I was like, wow, they actually killed Shazam. I was like, it makes sense. There's no more movie. I had bought a hook, line, and sinker. I was like, yeah, I guess it makes sense. Like, if that's how they're ending this, but they brought him back and got Wonder Woman into the movie, which was cool. And yeah, they just Anthea moves in with them, I guess, because she's like an orphan, I guess, foster kid.
Yeah, I guess.
Even though she's, as she said, she was 6,000 years old.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, and then the Shazam wizard stops by, and he looks pretty badass. I believe Freddy said he looked pimpin', which was funny.
Yes,
and
he did look good.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm gonna take the staff, because I don't trust you guys with it. but he was like, I'm gonna explore your world. It's gonna be great. And that's when the movie ends. They're just like, oh, crazy. Oh, the whole movie, because they call him Captain Every Power Junior or whatever. He's like, oh, I really still don't have a name. Or he goes, hey. Wizard, what's my name? What's my superhero name? And he goes, your name is Shazam. And he goes, wow. He's like, yeah, that's, should have thought about that.
Obviously.
Yeah, he's like, that was stupid of me.
But, earlier in the movie when someone calls him Captain Marvel?
Yes.
The person who called him Captain Marvel played him in the Shazam show in the 70s.
Really?
That was cool. Yeah, I saw that after.
I like that. That was cool. Yeah. It's a little confusing for someone like because I saw the movie with Catherine. She's like, oh, did they say that? Captain Marvel? I was like, well, that was his name. Shazam was Captain Marvel, so that's the joke. It's not a Captain Marvel joke. That was his name in DC Comics before he was Shazam.
Yeah.
So.
And then they had a thing in the writer's room. They're like, can we say that? And they said one of the other writers was like, they mentioned DC heroes and Marvel movies, so
yeah,
whatever
the Guardian special, they mentioned Batman, and
yeah,
there was something else where I think they mentioned Superman, right? So yeah, for sure. Also, I know it's there, like, IP. He was, like, there are, you could get Captain Marvel.
Yeah, he was.
You can get, you know, like, Captain Marvel stuff from DC. So that was funny. I liked that. Then we got our after credit scene.
Yeah, we got the first one. I was pretty hyped to see Amelia Harcourt and John Economos from Peacemaker.
Dude, when it just gets on them, I was like, my fucking people.
I love them.
Yeah, the best.
They're walking, they're having the usual banter, and long story short, they are recruiting Billy for the Justice Society.
Yes.
And it's the Justice League, and he criticizes them for having the same name.
Yes.
Or similar names.
Yes. He's like, why are you two justice groups? He goes, it's very confusing.
So that's what you were saying before. We'll see him again, but none of the others.
Yes. I think he'll probably be around in the Justice. I think they'll... And it looks like, hey, they'll keep the Justice Society, which is cool because I like Hawkman. The other two, they could drop. I don't care. What was it? From Black Adam, whatever.
And he could totally work with Cena, too. Like, their banter off each other.
Oh, yeah. For sure. But yeah, it looks like they're setting up a, and this has to, like, listen, I don't know if this was shot before or after Gunn and Safran took over, but if it wasn't going to lead anywhere, they would have taken it out. They've talked about how they've changed the Flash after credit scenes 20 times, you know?
Yeah.
So, if this wasn't going to lead anywhere, I think they would have taken it out. It makes me think that he will indeed stay. There was those James Gunn quotes where he said he liked Zach Levy and he was thinking about, you know, keeping him on. I find it weird that, like, no one said anything. I guess maybe because the movie still came out this weekend. But no one has been like, oh, yeah, it's confirmed that Zach Levy is going to be, you know, in the Justice League or Justice Society. See, look at that. I got fucked up. In the Justice Society, you know, blah, blah, blah. He'll be in Waller or he'll be in blah, 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 whatever. So... we'll see. I think for sure he'll be back. I think the Shazamly might be done, though. So that's sad for them because I enjoyed them. But it is what it is with the soft reboot that they're doing.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. And then there was a second scene.
Your guy.
Mr. Mind.
Mr. Mind shows up, little worm.
With Mark, they got Mark Strong to come back and film this. That was cool. Thaddeus Sivana.
Sivana's still there. Yeah. I don't know why they didn't take this out. I guess because we know this won't lead anywhere. It's just funny.
Yes, it's literally telling you that. Absolutely forget about that first post-credit scene from the first movie.
Yep. And he basically says, like, I have no idea what you want from me. And Mr. Mind is like, I'll be back.
He was like, tell me. He goes, it's been 2 years. You've disappeared. I'm 57 years old, and I'm sitting here waiting for a caterpillar to come back. And he was like, tell me. You need to tell me what we're going to do. How do we do this? And I thought this was hilarious. Mr. Mind goes, oh, yes, I will tell you. But first I must do one more thing.
and he's gone.
And he leaves. So I was like, ah, yes, excellent. I love I adore continuity like that. They decided that, you know, they were going to go in a different direction for the second movie and wasn't going to be a Mr. Mind, which makes sense. Like, how are you going to do that, right? Like,
yeah, no.
It's just not going to work in, you know, in film. And, you know, people are like, oh, shit, like, I can't believe he wasn't at least mentioned. There you go. It's a gag.
Did away with it.
It's a funny gag that they actually were able to write it off.
Yep.
So that's cool. I enjoyed it.
And that's it.
That's the movie. That's Shazam. I would say if you like Shazam, he will most likely be back. I do want to talk. The one thing that did give me a little pause, and maybe that's why there's been no announcement, although I think it's stupid to do this. It was technically number one at the box office this week, but horrific numbers. 30.5 in America and Canada, 35 in the other territories for a total of 65.5 million for the weekend. Again, like I said, was number one, but that is a very poor number.
Yep.
They were projecting about 35 to 40 million, so it underperformed by about five to ten million dollars. It is the third worst opening, but of the DCEU, but is definitely number one because the other two were pandemic openings of Suicide Squad and Wonder Woman 1984. So this is definitely the worst in a non-pandemic setting. Although, as you know, other than like Black Panther recently, the movie is still, I don't know. Like every time I go, it's weird. Like every time I go to the movies, Brian, it's like, there's a lot of people in the theater and I'm like, oh yeah, it's cool. You know, it's like, but apparently the movies are still struggling coming back from COVID and the pandemic and stuff like that. So I don't know how to exactly rate this. It's not good, and that's not good for them, and you know, for putting out these movies. Maybe it'll get a little boost from the ads with Wonder Woman over the weekend.
Maybe
for next week. But I mean, I'm sure. I mean, usually they don't go up in the second weekend. So right. If they could just do like maybe a minimal drop. But that was rough to see that it did so bad. Even as number one in the country, it was a bad number. And especially coming off the bad numbers for Black Adam, it's concerning.
They need to either, like, they're probably just going to cut down on their budgeting if they're not pulling in as much money as movies once were.
Yeah. And it's funny, because without Ezra Miller, I would say The Flash is for sure going to be a very good box office. But, you know, there's people that are not going to see the movie because they don't like Ezra Miller. So it's, you know.
Right.
It's not a sure thing either, The Flash, which normally would be. You know, you'd be like, oh yeah, for sure. But we'll see. We'll see what they say. I'll be keeping you guys updated on this as we go through, as you know, with news in the news, if there's any Levy or Gunn news with keeping the Shazamly or whatever. So we'll keep you updated on that. Brian, before we move over to the Mandalorian episode, do you want to give it a thumbs up, a 7 out of 10? What do you think?
Give it an 8.
Yeah. I think that's right.
It's exactly what it should be.
If I gave the first movie a 9, which I believe I did, because that movie was great, yeah, it's like an 8. It's a little bit worse. It's not as good as the first, but it's still really good. It's a fun movie. That's like, it's 2 hours. It goes really quick. It's a lot of action, a lot of humor, a lot of heart. I bought the big death scene. Like, I was like, oh, shit, that was crazy. So, emotional. It's good. It's a good movie. They do good work on these movies. And especially, like, if you're taking, like, the family out to the movie, like, if you have, like, kids that like superhero movies, like, this is good for them. The family aspect of it is really well done.
Yeah. Everyone will enjoy parts of it.
Yes. And the dragon was cool. They did a really good job of that dragon. That was some good VFX.
Oh, it was a cool dragon.
I thought the dragon was really cool.
Even the creatures that broke out, they were cool.
Yeah, they all the VFX on this movie was great. Looked real good. And finally, we're going to close this episode out with a little Mandalorian talk. And before you say anything, Brian, what in the fucking Andor was this episode?
I think this show sucks now.
They did a boring Andor episode. Like, forget about what we said about the first two. The first two episodes, we're like, oh, you know, it's like the Mandalorian. It's cool. It's whatever. It's not great, but it's not bad. They gave me an Andor. I was falling asleep. I was fucking boring. It was the same bullshit. And I blame, and I don't know if I, you know, obviously they filmed this a while ago. But, like, all those people, they were like, oh, the Mandalorian is for kids. I liked Andor because it was, like, political and go, fuck you, man. This shit sucks.
Yep.
I hated this episode. I hated Andor.
It's like,
this sucked.
Yeah. It's like they did what I asked for last week, which is give me other storylines, but way too much of it.
You went way too in the direction of fucking Andor, dude. And especially, like, the episode starts with, like, oh, the Mandalorian and Mando and Bo-Katan are being, you know, chased by TIE fighters. Oh, that's fun. And then...
And you know what? Yeah. You know what's fucking dumb?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We're going to be done with this episode in about a minute.
Yeah.
But, like...
I have nothing to say.
So, fucking Djarin and Bo-Katan. I'm just going to start and finish them here, because that's all the episode did with them. So, all right, they come out of the waters. They leave. She does not tell them about the Mythosaur. Yeah. Fine. They get some TIE fighter fights. Awesome. Whatever. Cool. It's a little fun. They leave out of there, and he goes to the armor, and he's like, here's living waters. And they're like, no, it's not. And he's like, fuck off. And they're like, wait, okay, he's right. It is the water. And they're like, did you bathe in the waters? Yes. And he's Mandalorian again. So is Bo-Katan. What is the point of the creed then? She didn't say the creed.
Yeah, no.
She also didn't want to be. So what if she's like,
the armor lady was just like, well, if you technically you're in the water, so you're redeemed. So like, if you don't take your helmet off, we're like super Gucci right now. And Bo-Katan's like, all right, whatever.
The crappy writing is like, A, she didn't even want to be, so like, what is this? And B, you know what? Now that like we're episodes in, I don't even buy that you wanted to be a Mandalorian again.
No.
Because like, he took the helmet off. Like, how much shit could this mean to him?
Yeah. The most important thing to him, seemingly, was Grogu, the child. Not like, I thought they made that pretty clear, like when he took the helmet off. Like, yes. that was the most important. Like, Grogu was super important to him, not, like, the
fucking... And now it's just not.
And now it's just like, oh, no, the creed is super... Now that he got his kid back, he's like, oh, the creed is super important to me. But...
And I was talking to Kevin and Francesco about the show, and Francesco's like, I can't get behind the little fucking Grogu Robin sidekick character that this Mandalorian doesn't need. I was like, you know what? It is kind of a weird Robin sidekick character. I don't know.
It is kind of like 60s Batman, right? Batman, you know, Mandalorian sometimes gets in like a crazy situation that he needs Grogu. Help me, Grogu.
The VFX on Grogu are not very good.
Well, they use a real puppet. It's you know, they do the rest of it CGI, but he's a real puppet, so...
Yeah, but, like, it doesn't look good.
No, because everything else is CGI, so why are you using a puppet? But I get it. It actually, you know, it's very cute as a puppet. I guess it wouldn't be as cute as a CGI character. Maybe it would be.
It's cute moments. It's just, like, when you're in, like, a big serious moment, it looks a little silly.
And it's, like, very much like you're flipping a puppet. Like, it's a puppet flipping in the air, yeah.
Yeah.
When they do, like, the running and the jumping with him, it looks terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're literally just like running and jumping with a puppet, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also there's another 40 minutes of bullshit Dr. Pershing that happened.
Yeah, so just real quick, if you remember from like the first or second episode, the evil doctor that was going to experiment on Grogu, that ended up working also for Moff Gideon, and
he was in season 1 and 2.
Yeah. Him and another woman that works for Moff Gideon are in the rehabilitation convert like thing that the New Republic is doing. And he's working on cloning, and the doctor thinks that he can perfect it, and like, you know, he has this whole backstory about how, you know, if this was available, he would still have his mother or some shit like that. You know, trying to get behind him and stuff like that. And he has this friendship with this woman, you know, I don't even remember her name, because I was falling asleep watching this boring piece of shit.
It was like if they took the worst Andor plot and slapped it into a Mandalorian
episode. Yeah, 100%. And, you know, they're in Coruscant, which is cool. I was like, oh shit, it's Coruscant. At first I thought that's where the Mandalorian jumped, because they're like, but no, it's just this whole part of it.
These are completely different stories.
I think so. What's going to happen is, so in the end, she, I guess because he remembers her, she set him up, to get caught by the New Republic, and they mind flayed him. And then for some reason, everyone was like, yeah, we're just gonna leave him here, we're gonna mind flay him, and we'll just be back. And she was like, oh, can I just stay and watch him be mind flayed?
You fucking weirdo.
And they were like, yeah, sure. Yeah, just watch him for us. And then she, like, super mind flays him. And I think he's dead. I don't know. I don't think that's good to be mindfully like that. Maybe he's just, I don't know.
I think he's going to forget everything, but he'll still be around.
Sure. So what I think the point of this episode was, Brian, was that she is still, like, probably, like, working on the side for Moff. And that's who, you know, Moff's people were chasing, Bo and Mando. And I think it'll somehow connect that way. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I needed four. This episode was the longest fucking episode. It was like 50 minutes.
And it felt it.
It felt every fucking second of it.
I watched it in two sittings because I didn't care.
I almost was like, if I turn this off now, maybe I'll watch the end at work. And I was like, I can't. I was like, I just got to finish it right now. But I was like I was truly like drifting in and out. It was like 10 o'clock at night last night. And I was like drifting in and out.
Before we jumped on here,
yeah.
I was like, how many episodes is this season? And I saw 8, which is kind of short. Yeah. And my immediate reaction was, ugh, 5 more episodes.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. They're going to weave this in, I believe. I assume it'll be the return of Moff Gideon. I'd rather them just plot device it and be like, holy crap, Moff Gideon escaped from jail. How did it happen? Rather than having to watch this episode.
And I have no idea what this next week is going to be. No. Like, where's Mandalorian going? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they got people looking for them. I'm sure he'll just be like, next week's going to be one of those episodes where it's just like, oh, Grogu, Mondo, and Bo-Katan are have to do this, but first they have to do that. Wacky. Like, it's going to go back to, like, the wacky Mandalorian kind of episode, I think. So
there's a fucking pirate.
There might be. The pirates are out there, too. Pirates, he's got a lot of people looking for him.
Oh, my God.
But at least he's... Watch it be like a Boba Fett episode. Bathed in the waters of the mines.
Yeah, great.
So that's out of the way. That's done.
Are they ever going to go back to this mythosaur? Who knows?
I think so. I assume they will wrap up all the plot points. They have 5 episodes, I mean... They threw Steven, one they away here. Right. They fucking just threw one away here, but yeah.
Episode 1 was a filler, too.
I'm just waiting for someone to say the First Order in one of these episodes, rather than say, like, the Empire and stuff like that. Like they gotta do it, right? At some point, like, it's been years now. Well. At some point, someone's gotta be like, you hear about this First Order? Anyway, that'll do it for us. We'll be back next week with another episode of Mando. Hopefully it's good. Follow us on Twitter at InfinityBoxRW. That's where we're going to tweet all our stuff. We'll tweet out the episodes and polls and news and stuff like that whenever there's stuff, trailers, you know, the good stuff. Check us out over there. Check us out on all podcast apps at, you know, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Apple Podcasts, all the good podcast apps. Also, check out my wrestling podcast at TIR Wrestling on Twitter. All the same podcast apps plus Spotify for that one. I am not on this week's episode, but I hear it's good, so still check it out. And that'll do it. Yeah. DC, Star Wars. Hopefully we'll get some Marvel news. It'll be good. We'll be back next week.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Bye.